News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I'm your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you're having a great today. Today, whatever today is, I can talk. Really, I can. I do this for a living. Actually, I really don't. I hope you're having a great day today, no matter what day today is for you, whether you're listening live here Saturday on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620, or you're listening to the podcast version of this show, wherever you get your podcasts, whenever you get your podcasts. We're going to try to make your day even just a little bit better by bringing you up to date on everything that's going on in entertainment and pop culture. Joining me to do so, as he does so very often on this show, please welcome Jeremy Branch.
Thanks for the update today on the date of the day.
You know, I recently watched the. I'm gonna blame this on media. It's the media's fault.
I know it all is.
I just finally got to watch the Looney Tunes movie, The Day the Earth Blew Up. So I spent I spent a good 90 minutes with Porky Pig. So I'm going to blame it on Porky Pig.
That's not the only thing you watched. And it wasn't real recent at this point. I really wish I would have taken the opportunity to bring this up on the last show. I got a text from Julio one Friday evening a couple weeks back now. And he said, you know, I'm hanging out with a roommate and we're watching some WWE on television, and I just figured you'd kind of want to hear about it. And I was so excited. I was like hyped that maybe Julio was all of a sudden going to get on the wrestling train. It would be like if I hit him up and was like, hey, Julio, I'm watching every episode of Doctor Who now. But Julio, I had to get your take on it. I know you saw a couple of matches. You're not a regular wrestling viewer. So what's your takeaway from it?
Yeah, I should say in particular, it was WWE. Because obviously there are some other promotions out there. So this happened to be WWE. The production values are pretty impressive, I think, overall. I think that they've really, you know, kind of taken things up in that regard from when I used to watch it when I was a kid.
Any drone shots?
I mean, some of the acting is bad. Some of it's good. Yeah. That's always been, it's always been the case. Some of the stories are fun. Some of them are stupid. But interestingly enough, I think that, and not necessarily for prurient reasons, I think the women are more interesting to watch than the men.
I tend to agree. It's funny that you mentioned that because when I started watching, it was the Royal Rumble in 2023, and it was the Women's Rumble match, I think, was like the first match that I saw when I was like, oh, wow, wrestling's actually really cool. And it's because, like, the women wrestlers, you know, back when I was young during the Attitude Era, they were called the Divas, and they were really just kind of like arm candy, eye candy, parading around in lingerie or bikinis or whatever. And that's all fine and good, but these women nowadays, they have something to prove, and they are, you know, they're athletic, they're all gorgeous, but they're also really dedicated and are able to do some incredibly, like, athletic and acrobatic stuff that's a lot of fun to watch. So, like, I tend to agree that I really like the women's matches.
Well, I think they're more interesting characters, too.
Okay, yeah. Like, so you saw Rhea Ripley. Mm-hmm. What do you think about her?
I thought, so it was a six-woman tag team match, and it was her, and I'm trying to remember who else I told you I saw in that.
Liv?
Yeah.
Naomi?
Right.
Stephanie Vaquer?
Right.
And
Alexa Bliss.
Io Sky.
Yeah, and Alexa Bliss was the other one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Alexa Bliss. That's right.
Yeah, so Alexa Bliss, Rhea Ripley, and Stephanie were one team. And the other, if I'm remembering correctly, and the others were the others. Yeah, I mean, I thought that was interesting. I thought that, you know, the characters were interesting. I thought that they do a better job of selling the wrestling than some of the guys do. I think that, you know, there's... So, you know, you get into this whole thing of wrestling being fake. And some of it is, some of it can't be faked. Some of
not like the Marvel that we watch, or the Game of Thrones that we watch, or the Doctor Who that we watch. This stuff is fake.
Yeah, some of the athleticism cannot be faked. Now, do they do as much damage to each other as it looks like? Not necessarily. There are things they can do to, you know, it's like stunts.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are some things that can be done in a way that looks impressive that really isn't actually doing any damage to somebody. But some of the athletes, if you know, you got somebody jumping off the top rope and landing on somebody on the ground, there's no way to fake that in a live setting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's happening. That's, you know, depending on the person, if we're talking about a male or female wrestler, that could be 300 pounds coming at you from, you know, 8 feet up.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that part ain't faked. That's all there is to it. There's a difference between fake and scripted.
Yeah.
In that regard, I think some people are better at executing the scripts than others.
You know, Cena is great until he gets in the ring, but you saw a little bit of a Cena promo when you were watching.
Mm-hmm.
Was that fun?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I do question a little bit this decision because John Cena has always been what they call a babyface. He's been one of the heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And like recently in this run to him retiring, they've had him turn heel. He's become a bad guy. And I think it's interesting to have that going on in kayfabe while he's also out in the world trying to be a movie star in movies where he's the protagonist.
Yeah, but Peacemaker, I feel like, kind of fits into that slot of like a heelish character.
Sort of, but you know, he is a character that certainly a lot of sympathy was elicited for him in the first season of that show.
And absolutely.
Like, I don't see that character as a heel anymore.
Yeah.
Anti-hero maybe, but not a heel.
Yeah.
You know, he is our focal point character. He is the guy that we're supposed to care about. And so from a standpoint of John Cena's overall career, I kind of wonder about that choice. Now, does he have fun playing it and is he fun to watch? Yeah.
Heck yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it'll last. I think he'll be a baby face again before he retires, but I've been enjoying it. And if you like,
well, they had him teamed up with freaking Logan Paul, who is a real life villain.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing.
That's wild.
But those two Paul brothers, there's nothing redeeming in real life about those two guys. So like, if you want to sell him as a heel, that's the right person to team him up with.
Absolutely.
But I think that's where we end up. I think he turns against Logan Paul and they sell something that it was some kind of long-term work to take out Logan Paul.
Yeah. So they teamed up, on that the following night and they did, it's like, can these two coexist? And of course they fell apart. They started fighting with each other gave the other guys a chance to slide in and get the victory. But I just thought it was cool. I just kind of wanted to touch on it, get your take on it, because if y'all have been listening to the show, you've no doubt heard me mention it a couple times. So
yeah,
that's what's up. It's cool.
Is it? I guess I kind of feel the same way you do about Doctor Who. That it's cool. I'm not gonna like become a fan, I don't think, but like I'm kind of glad I watched it. And if it was on, would I watch it? Yeah. Am I going to seek it out? Probably not. Am I going to, you know, get the pay-per-view or, you know, jump on Netflix to watch the live ones? No. But if like somebody wanted to put it on and I was hanging out, yeah, that's fine.
Good to know.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting too, because working with Pensacon, we don't get to see a lot of those folks because they're under contract to WWE. And the current contract people aren't allowed to do regular cons. They can only do WWE
Interesting.
Events.
Interesting.
So versus like AEW, I've gotten to meet a lot of those people because they those people are allowed to go out and do shows, and we've had a lot of them as guests at the convention. So like the WWE people I've met are all like legends. They're not current people.
Like Mick Foley.
Yeah.
And
who's
going to
be
Rick
coming
Flair.
Back next year. We're going to have Mick Foley back next year. So yeah, so that was interesting too. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
I recall the time they found those fossils. fossilized mosquitoes, and before long they were cloning DNA. Now I'm being chased by some irate velociraptors. Well, believe me, this has been one lousy day. Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark. All the dinosaurs are running wild. Someone shut the fence off in the rain. I admit it's kinda eerie, but this proves my chaos theory, and I don't think I'll be coming back.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line, and if you couldn't guess from the dulcet tones of Weird Al Yankovic, we're going to get into the Jurassic Park / Jurassic World franchise on this week's show. We've got the new movie coming out next week. I keep forgetting the name of this movie, Jeremy.
Jurassic World Rebirth.
Jurassic World Rebirth. Okay, so they're trying to convince us that this is a new start for the Jurassic World franchise.
Yeah, sure.
All right, I'm going to buy that. No, I'm really not going to buy that, because here's the thing, dude. Like, I'm at the point where I don't understand it anymore. Like, I get...
How do you mean?
I get the basic appeal of dinosaurs. Don't get me wrong. I do. Let's just be brutally honest here. We've had, what, 3 Jurassic Parks and 3 Jurassic Worlds, now 4 Jurassic Worlds. So we're talking about 7 movies. Plus, I think there's been like a spinoff animated series or whatever, right? Wasn't there an animated series?
Yeah, Camp Cretaceous.
Yeah. Most of it's not very good. Am I wrong to say that?
I think I'm going to come down on the more positive side, which is great, just for the sake of discussion. I am a Jurassic World apologist. I think Jurassic Park 3 is pretty good, and I do think it ultimately comes down to the just commercial appeal of dinosaurs. So we're both on the same page about that, but I don't know, man. I thought Jurassic World, the first one, was pretty dang solid. Where do you come down on that one?
I know I liked it when I saw it.
Uh-huh.
I think I've cooled on it some since then.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably, in fairness, the second best film in the franchise. Like, I mean, let's rewind here a minute. Original Jurassic Park, I'm never going to knock it. That first movie... I went and saw it midnight show when it was first released. Absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
And holds up. That movie, I think the effects still look good. I think, you know, the action looks good. And I had, one of the things I really liked about it is because I had read the book beforehand. I was a fan of the book by Michael Crichton. They changed enough about the movie to make the movie still scary and thrilling, because you didn't know who was going to live and who was going to die. In that they fairly early on killed off a character that survived the book. But they didn't change so much that they changed the story, or that,
yeah,
you know, that they weren't true to the spirit of the novel. And
to that point, the Michael Crichton novel is really, really good, but as far as directly translating what happened in that book to a movie, I don't think it would have worked that well, because there's a whole lot of like bouncing from location to location, investigating whether or not there are dinosaurs that got loose or where all of these dinosaur sightings are coming from. So like Spielberg streamlined it, and in doing that, he also infused what Spielberg's strengths are. So like they took this really kind of groundbreaking at the time scientific look at dinosaurs that was courtesy of Michael Crichton. And then they added a human element that Spielberg does so well, in the awe and the wonder and the majesty of experiencing dinosaurs. You see it on the faces, in the performances, and all of that stuff. So, like, I agree with you. I think that Steven Spielberg's adaptation made for a superior story for the medium, and really, really loved that movie. I saw it in its theatrical run maybe 4 times. I think it ran for almost a year when it was released. I mean, it was a game changer in terms of technological breakthroughs and what they could do with VFX and all of that kind of stuff. So I think both of us are in agreement. The first one's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first movie is pretty unassailable. And I think that there's a lot of stuff in that movie, though, that has set a template that subsequent films and filmmakers feel the need to keep revisiting, even when it doesn't make sense.
Hit me with an example, because I think I'm following here.
This is my biggest one. Why do people keep bringing kids around these dinosaurs? In the first movie, it made sense. It had to do with the arrogance of John Hammond, and that he was convinced that he knew everything and that he was going to be the lord of the dinosaurs. And, you know, he felt very comfortable bringing his grandkids in so they could, grandpa could impress the grandkids. Makes perfect sense. Completely understandable. Jurassic World, they had an operating theme park. Makes sense for kids to be there. It seemed very safe until something went terribly wrong.
Ian's daughter was a stowaway, to be fair, on the Lost World.
Okay.
So there's 3 of them out of 6. Part 3, the kid was missing, so they went to rescue the kid, and they didn't know that Nublar had dinosaurs on it. So there's 4 of them.
Okay. And 5, they had a kid they had to rescue too. Dominion, they had that, the kid that was the clone.
And then in 6, she was the clone still.
Was she?
So, look, all right. Hit me with another example.
Okay, but we've got kids in this trailer for this new one.
Yeah.
They're literally sure. Going to this island to extract dinosaur DNA to solve some problem. Why the hell are they bringing kids?
Yeah, it's absurd. But why do the kids keep going to Crystal Lake? I mean, there's been a massacre there.
Yeah, but you got to imagine that, eventually they got to stop going to Crystal Lake. Eventually people got to be like, no, I'm not going there. Because it keeps happening. But, after the first or second time, you're like, oh, that's not going to happen again. Yeah, they caught the guy. They killed the guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And teenagers are idiots, where the adults are culpable in the Jurassic movies, where this is just bad adulting to not keep the kids away.
And to put it in Crystal Lake terms as well, you're talking about, teenagers that are running off on their own versus, 12-year-olds.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the kids in Jurassic Park are sneaking off to go smoke cigarettes and drink and, do other things that they shouldn't be doing. Unlike, Friday the 13th. So it's an apples and oranges thing.
And I'm being, you're right. Still to that point, there should not be, even in those terms, why would they open Jurassic World? I mean, it's insane. After the history and all that has happened, why are there still dinosaurs existing in the first place? If you had access to this kind of technology, why would that be the thing that you did with it? I mean, it does kind of come to John Hammond's motives of being the next Barnum and Bailey circus kind of situation. So I guess character flaws aren't necessarily plot holes. I think this is something that we talk about.
No,
but
yeah, I mean that works for me. I get that. Yeah. I get that all of this stems from Hammond and Hammond's arrogance / dream. Mm-hmm. I could see where there would be people that were determined to carry on John Hammond's dream. And, by the time of Jurassic World, they had made a very successful theme park out of it. And everything was running great and hunky-dory until something went wrong. How many times does something go wrong before they say, okay, we got to stop doing this?
Yes.
And in fairness, I don't think they've ever gone back to since the first Jurassic World. I don't think they've gone back to a theme park situation.
Those movies, to be fair, those movies are both very bad. Dominion and Fallen Kingdom are
Just terrible.
They're stinkers. Does that mean that I did not support them when they came to the theaters? No, I did, and I do think there's still pleasure to be had, but we got time to talk about this, so let's go back to The Lost World, Jurassic Park 2, and so I can illustrate your point also. In the first one, there was the T-Rex scene in the Jeep. In the second one, there was the two T-Rexes scene in the double Jeep. And it's like kind of retreading that same beat from the first one.
Well, there's also the continued theme of the T-Rex is going to be the hero at the end.
Yeah, and they do that a lot.
It's like, yeah, I mean, like, I get, like, people love the T-Rex. I get it. But at some point, it's like, you know, there are other dinosaurs.
A lot. And I know this has been said before. All these dinosaurs are actually from the Cretaceous period, or the majority of them.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a big flaw. And then another thing I heard just this morning, because I am a big dinosaur nerd, did you know the Stegosaurus and the T-Rex were farther apart in, like, timeline than we are from the T-Rex?
No, I didn't. That's interesting.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah. Now, weirdly enough, I just happened to have watched the... there's a guy named Ryan George who does these great videos called Pitch Meeting, where he plays a screenwriter and a producer, a Hollywood executive, that are talking about a movie that they want to make. And I just watched the one on Jurassic Park recently, which was done several years ago, but it popped up in my feed and I watched it. And they make that point about, you know, well, why aren't we calling it Cretaceous period? Because that sounds stupid and I don't like it.
Yeah,
fair enough. So, I mean, Jurassic Park as a name just works, you know, and as a mm-hmm. brand it works. And I guess that's why we keep coming back to it, is because A, there's that nostalgia for the original film, but B, I mean, there is something, for lack of a better term, primal about dinosaurs. And
it's weird because they can't own dinosaurs, as in Universal doesn't own the IP for dinosaurs. So, but it's weird that they've been the only franchise synonymous with them. We don't get dinosaurs outside of the Jurassic movie, so it's always going to scratch that itch.
Not a big fan of We're Back, a Dinosaur's Tale, huh?
Oh, dang, I forgot about that one. And of course, The Land Before Time. I mean, and they tried that one, 65, with Adam Driver. I honestly didn't even see it, but I didn't hear great things about it.
Well, we've got to take a break. We'll talk about this more when we come back. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line. And said it before, I say it again, man. The 80s were a wild time for music video.
What a video.
The cave girls with their little synchronized dance and the whole nine yards. Walk the Dinosaur. And we're talking about dinosaur movies. You got to play that song. That's just
absolutely.
That's just all there is to it. But we are talking about the Jurassic Park / Jurassic World franchise, as we've got the new movie Jurassic Jurassic World, I'm going to get the damn name wrong again. Jurassic World Rebirth?
Yes, nailed it.
Jurassic World Reboot. Jurassic World, the one with ScarJo.
Jurassic World 1 just now came out 2 years ago, and now we've got another one.
Yeah. Was it only 2 years ago, really?
It might have been a little bit more than that, but they could have let it mellow a little bit if they wanted us to believe, and you said this in the opening of this topic, is if they wanted us to believe that they were really doing something different, they had to let it sit for a little while longer. I do think there's something to be said about just like letting audiences miss it, but I was just kind of crunching some numbers and see that the Jurassic franchise is a $6 billion franchise. I mean, they're some of the highest grossing films of all time. In fact, the highest grossing of all of them, Fallen Kingdom, was a almost $1.7 billion movie. So, like, obviously there's that side of it as well, is that they generate revenue. And if you already heard me talking, I get excited. I turn into a six-year-old boy when I'm like, did you know that T-Rexes live closer in time to humans than like, yeah. I love this stuff, man. I really am such a big fan of dinosaurs, but something we mentioned is it's like the only IP that's using them. And there's like such cinematic stuff to be mined out of it. So why are all of the Jurassic movies kind of just meh?
Well, I mean, and the thing is, to go back to what you were saying about letting it rest for a while, like, I think that's why Jurassic World worked as well as it did. It had been some time since Jurassic Park 3.
I want to correct myself. 1.67 was Jurassic World, not Fallen Kingdom.
Okay.
But anyways, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. See, and I think that, you know, I think at the time, and I remember how excited people were when that movie was coming out. I remember, you know, we did the movie club screening for that, and it was the most attended one we've ever done. We had like...
Oh, wow.
We had like, you know, probably 50 or 60 people stay around to talk about the movie afterward that were so excited. We had a couple people there who'd been extras in the movie.
Steve Wise was in it.
Yeah, they shot a lot of it in New Orleans, or in Louisiana, in that area. And I think at that Six Flags, that destroyed Six Flags, I think they used that, if I'm not mistaken. You know, so there was a lot of local interest in it. And, you know, if any other film after the first one works, that's the one that works. There is stuff that to like about that movie.
I like The Lost World, which was also a Spielberg movie, but the whole production of that was kind of messy because Crichton didn't even want to write a follow-up to Jurassic Park, but then he was approached by Universal, and Spielberg wasn't really keen on directing it unless Crichton wrote the book. And so it all just kind of felt... It lacked the awe-inspiring nature of the first one. But then again, Julio, is that just the byproduct of being a sequel? Can we ever recapture the magic of seeing CGI dinosaurs rendered in full realism like we did the first time?
I wish that Star Wars fans could be that introspective and questioning of themselves.
because
the major problem with Star Wars fandom, and maybe that's my problem with Jurassic fandom, in fairness, the major problem with Star Wars fandom is people expecting things to excite them the way they did when they were 6 years old.
Yep.
And that's not how the world works.
Mm-mm.
You know, so, but I don't think that's my issue, because you can maybe write off the reaction to 2 and 3 that way. You can't tell me that my problem with Fallen Kingdom and Dominion is that I'm just jaded about dinosaurs on screen.
They were so bizarre. And there were some cool things in Dominion, like that underground trade market. Like, they messed that up in Fallen Kingdom with like the auctions underneath the mansion. But like, there was this one scene in Dominion where they were going through this like market, and they were fighting dinosaurs, and they were like selling them off almost like a drug ring, but with dinosaurs. And I thought, like, no, that's a pretty cool concept. And the idea that like dinosaurs have overrun the world, which we got a first little taste of that in The Lost World when the T-Rex made landfall in San Francisco or San Diego. I don't remember which one, but they never capitalized on it in any meaningful way that left us with like, oh, wow, wouldn't it be crazy if dinosaurs coexisted on the earth with us, and instead went in this direction of these giant locust creatures that totally pulled focus away. And then they have this big bad dinosaur I can't even remember what it's called, like a Gigantosaurus or something, this big, massive, super killer predator that's supposed to be even badder than the T-Rex, but it doesn't even, I don't think it eats anybody in the whole movie. It's like, well, show me what makes it so scary. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, I am an apologist, but they're all bad.
That's one of my other issues with this franchise is, like, there's enough interesting real dinosaurs that we don't have to invent non-existent dinosaurs. And I get that the ultimate theme is technology run amok.
Yeah.
And that, yes, people are going to, because the nature of humanity is that they're going to try to make it bigger and badder and scarier. And that realistically, if that technology existed, would somebody say, oh yeah, well, you've got this cool thing. Well, watch what I do.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So on the topic of rebirth though, there are some interesting things that I can pull conceptually and say, actually, I like that they're doing this. And one of the things is something you probably recall from the first book, and that's the T-Rex chasing him down the river. That's a cool scene that was never shot and depicted in any of the movies. So they're like really pulling from that, and you can see it in the trailer. So that's kind of exciting. What do you think?
I mean, yeah. I mean, do I think there will be cool visuals in this? Yeah, there are cool visuals in all of the movies, whether the movies are great or not. I mean, you can't deny that they look good. And if you're just looking to turn your brain off and look at eye candy, they work on that level, you know, to varying extents.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I maybe I'm being a little hard on Jurassic World. Like, you know, it did give us the double-fisted margarita Jimmy Buffett scene. So, you know, if nothing else, it gave us a meme that has at this point now outlived Jimmy Buffett himself. So
the night vision scene with the raptors was pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's definitely, I mean, again, if I'm going to rank the entire franchise, that's my number two.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I really do like The Lost World, though. I know that it has that diminishing returns factor. And to your point, and I think it's very valid, is at least Jurassic World, let it chill for a little while. Let us kind of build up that nostalgia and the goodwill again, where the follow-ups to that did not give us the privilege of having enough time to miss it, and neither is this one. But another thing that I think is cool about Rebirth that might kind of contradict what you were just saying about the genetic modifications, because there are a lot of cool dinosaurs that we don't need to go inventing stuff, but I like that they're going to the island of, like, misfit genetic failure dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. So, like, a lot of the experiments gone wrong, we're going to see kind of mutant dinosaurs this time, and that's something that if you go back to the mid-90s when they were talking about the follow-up to the original Jurassic Park, they were talking about doing things like this, where there was like militarized use of the dinosaurs, and they were like human dinosaur hybrids and all of these kind of things that, like, conceptually could be interesting things that you could really do something cool with. And unfortunately, again, things I don't think they're going to capitalize on well.
Well, it seemed to me, and maybe I'm wrong, that it's not just that, it's also dinosaurs that were like actual dinosaurs that they just decided were too dangerous to put in the park.
Yes, there's that too.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, to me, like, okay, because there are lots of species that we didn't see in the original movies that you could put on this island without getting into, like, oh, and this one's a mutant and he's got, you know, 12 arms and they've all got, uh-huh. You know, it's like, if I want to go to a kaiju movie, I'll go to a kaiju movie. I love kaiju movies, but, like, at some point that's what you're getting to. It's like the dinosaurs aren't good enough. We've got to have kaiju.
Okay. Yeah. While you said that, you just triggered something in my brain. It shows Titanosaurus in the trailers for the new Jurassic Rebirth. Titanosaurus are a very large apatosaurus, similar to a brachiosaurus or a apatosaur or a brontosaurus. And in this movie, they're depicted with almost like a fin on their neck, similar to what you would see on a sailfish or a dolphin, not a porpoise, but they are hearkening back to images, and it's great because Gareth Edwards directed this. He did 2014's Godzilla. In the Toho universe, there is a Gigantosaurus, and it is a finned kaiju. So he's taking the red fin from Gigantosaurus from the Toho movies and putting it onto the actual dinosaur, is just kind of a little visual nod to the kaiju stuff that he obviously has an affinity for. So that's kind of a fun little Easter egg.
Okay, cool. Well, we've got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line, and we're talking about the Jurassic Park / Jurassic World. Do you call it the Jurassic Park or the Jurassic World franchise, or just the Jurassic franchise, Jeremy?
I was going to bring that up. I call it the Jurassic franchise. I think they want us to call it the Jurassic World franchise, but that was kind of a weird move as far as kind of muddying up the branding.
Like, I actually think that Jurassic World kind of works as a label if you're not thinking about it as the theme park.
It does.
Like the overall, this is the world of the Jurassic. Like, that kind of makes some sense. But I don't know. I guess here's the bottom line of what I want to get to, Jeremy. Are you actually excited for this movie, or do you just feel like, oh, I guess I'm going to see this?
I am legitimately excited for this movie, and I know that doesn't help your case here,
but I might be one of the few outliers. But tell me why.
Because the appeal of the Jurassic movies is the seeing the dinosaur spectacle on the big screen, and I suspect that why these movies continue to dominate the box office in the way that they do is because it doesn't matter about the dialogue. It doesn't matter about, as long as you see people reacting scared or trying their best to look scared or in awe of dinosaurs, it doesn't matter if you're in China. It doesn't matter if you're in Germany. It doesn't matter if you're in the Middle East. Like, there's something universal, pun intended, about the Jurassic franchise. And I think that's like the key to their success is if you want to see dinosaurs wreaking havoc on people, they will deliver that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. And I guess in that regard, you know, to go back to the kaiju thing, it can go back to the same thing. Like, but I guess I would feel different if we had like Jurassic minus one.
Yeah.
You know, if we had some like attempts to make actual quality movies in here and not just, you know, oh, here's more spectacle. Like the legendary Godzilla Kong movies are primarily just spectacle.
Yeah.
Like there's some world building in there. And I think it was more so in the TV series, which I did enjoy, the Monarch TV series.
Yeah, we like that.
But they exist to just be, hey, here's big loud eye candy. And they work on that level, but like at the same point, like I don't get as excited about them anymore. Versus, you still have the ability to do movies like Shin Godzilla or Godzilla Minus One that are actual like real interesting movies with interesting stories to tell that use these incredible creatures as a metaphor for things in the actual world. And
I don't think you're wrong for wanting more out of it, and to accept less is just, there's no reason to accept less, and because I believe that Jurassic Park is elevated above that. I don't look at Jurassic Park and say it's just dumb popcorn movie where it doesn't matter. There's no like subtext. There's characterization. There's none of those things that do matter to good storytelling. After that, there's not.
So, because Jurassic Park boils down to one very often quoted line that is the central theme of that movie and why that movie is elevated and why it works where some of these other ones don't. Your scientists were so busy trying to figure out if they could that they didn't bother to think that they should.
Mm-hmm.
It is about the arrogance of man and the lack of forethought that causes. And, you know, that's what it's about. You know, it's about arrogance and greed at its heart.
Yeah.
And
which is funny because
that's what the franchise has become. Nothing but arrogance and greed. Like, and I don't understand why somebody like Scarlett Johansson, who is, you know, an Academy Award nominee, multiple times Academy Award nominee, if I'm remembering correctly, who certainly doesn't need the money. Why is she doing this?
Yeah, I mean, if it isn't for the money, I'm kind of hard pressed. But maybe I could be generous and say that if this is something, and, you know, we're well past our youth, if this is something that resonates with kids, if they saw Camp Cretaceous and they loved it, or if this inspires future generations to, you know, become archaeologists or paleontologists and that kind of stuff, that's great. And maybe there's something there. Maybe these people want to be involved with it because they know that it resonates with children. And like, I can buy into that, but
maybe you love the original so much and you just want to be a part of that world. Like, I can see that, that kind of, you know, thing as well. But, you know, again, you're talking about Scarlett Johansson, multiple Academy Award nominees. You've got Mahershala Ali in this. Once or twice?
He definitely ran for Moonlight, and I think for Green Book.
I'm not sure if he won for. Yeah, he did. He won for Green Book as well. Two Best Supporting Actor wins. He's also got an Emmy, if I'm not mistaken. You know, these acclaimed actors. It's like, why are you doing this? You don't need the money. Like, I just don't get it. Like, why is that your career move? Like, Scarlett's out there kind of like backhanded a little bit towards Marvel. And it's like, this is no different.
Is The Lost World successful? Is Jurassic World successful in the same way that The Force Awakens was successful? Would you say one of them does it better than the other?
Yes and yes. Yes, I think that it is, you know, there is some of that. It's been gone for a while. We miss it. We're excited to have it back. That drove the success of both those movies.
Uh-huh.
I know people have issues with the sequel trilogy, but every movie in that sequel trilogy is watchable.
I love The Force Awakens. I think I prefer The Force Awakens to Jurassic World. I think that's pretty easy for me to say.
I will go so far as to say, not only do I prefer The Force Awakens to Jurassic World, I prefer Last Jedi to Fallen Kingdom.
By a mile.
And I prefer Rise of Skywalker to Dominion.
Okay. Yeah. I think I might prefer Dominion to the Rise of Skywalker.
Wow.
I think I might prefer Fallen Kingdom to the Rise of Skywalker.
Somehow Alan Grant returned.
Why wasn't it Alan Grant in The Lost World? I will never understand why Michael Crichton brought a character back from the dead. Otherwise, I mean, other than the fact that obviously Ian Malcolm is great, he died in the original novel, and then he just ends up in Dr. Grant's role in the follow-up for some weird reason. But love Jeff Goldblum. Love that character. No big problem, again, but it just seemed weird.
Well, and that's where you can make the greatest analogy, because Dominion made a big show of, oh, look, we brought the original trio back. Which, you know, obviously the Star Wars movies did as well. They brought the original trio of Luke, Han, and Leia back. You can't, no matter what qualms you had with the Star Wars sequel trilogy, you can't deny that they brought those characters back in a better way than Dominion brought back.
Oh my goodness.
Alan and Ellie and Ian.
Yeah. I just landed with a thud. It's like, we should have cared about that, but everything around it was just so bad. And I've even seen the extended edition. There's like a cool little dinosaur scene at the beginning that takes place, you know, millions of years ago. That's neat. And there's some good looking stuff in it, but it is a major disappointment and a recent disappointment, but not commercially. And ultimately that ties to your thesis of the whole thing, is it's corporate greed. It's become the thing that it was critical of in the beginning. And it's unfortunate. Yeah. I would love a return to form, but this ain't going to be it.
If you told me that the studio was being run by Dennis Nedry, I'd believe you. Which that would be actually, now that if you want to get me on board with this movie, that's what you do at the end. You reveal that Dennis Nedry has been behind it all. But sure, you know, again, that's a character that did not survive Jurassic Park. So yeah, Maybe we, if we get Sam Jackson back to say, hold on to your butts, maybe that's... maybe
did Wong die?
I don't remember.
Yeah, no, that's how I feel. That's crazy, man.
And moreover, I just kind of don't care. But, you know, that's... Yeah. And we'll see. Maybe I'll feel differently after the movie comes out next week. We'll see. I'm sure despite my concerns, I probably will see the movie this weekend. I'm assuming you're going to see it, Jeremy.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be there. I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be there. I think it's going to be a massive box office hit.
Maybe we should make that interesting. Maybe we should wager on that. If we think... I say that, but I know I'd lose. Like, people are going to go see this movie. I think you're right. I just don't understand why. I guess the same reason.
Yeah.
I guess same reason
we'll
I'm going to go
see
it. Yeah, we'll see. But, like, it is, in a summer full of things to be excited about, it is not one of the things I'm excited about. It just feels like I have to go see it. But once I do and once you do, we'll come back. We'll tell you what we thought of it. Until then, you're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.